Well, thank you so much, and it's just such an honor and a privilege to be here with all of you today. And I will just have you say, I'm a little bit rough. I'm just a regular guy. I'm out there swinging a hammer all week long and toiling and working like you are, and I'm just a guy that God called to answer what His desire is. And so I'm here today, and I might get a little rough. That's okay, but I know I'm in good company. And I was thinking of all the wonderful things that are going on down here at Southgate, and all the prayer and all the outreach to the community that's taking place through prayer for Planned Parenthood and your ministry to the those that are shut in, and your ministry to those who are imprisoned, and just answering that call that God has on your life. And I thought, man, I might just have to sneak away from my church now and then and just come and join you a little bit more and get to know you a little better. So I'm encouraged. I'm blessed. And Pastor Gary, I'm just so thankful for you and for Gene and your impact in our lives over these years. And I would say we just couldn't have done it without friends like you. And so we're thankful. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife Heather to come up here and bring home. Can you bring that chart with you? I'm going to share something with you that really was birthed in the Spirit of God, okay? This is my lovely assistant, Heather, my wife of 32 years. No, you can hold it. Oh, yeah, I want you to hold it. Okay. And maybe you can just kind of step forward here so that everyone can see it. There you go. Okay. All right, so some of you may not be able to see this very well, but I'm going to try to explain this. This is something birthed of the Spirit. And I would say this is something that Siri Tescarella presented, yeah. this picture here. I don't remember everything that Siri... This is not something that Siri said to teach. This is something of the Spirit and something that God gave me taking off of that. Does that make any sense? Anyway, the Lord speaks things to people, like Oswald Chambers, my utmost for His highest. I was just thinking that's what God wants. Our utmost for His highest, amen? And so God just drops these things in our spirit, and this is a picture, what would you call it? It's a picture. It's a picture. I want you to be able to get what the Holy Spirit gave to me from what I'm going to share with you right now. It's a picture, and this will help explain not only where you are at in different times of your life and different seasons of your life, and maybe somewhere you're in this somewhere right now, where you're at right now, and we're going to minister to that today. But it also explains where people around you and those around you are at in their life, and it will help you to be that that tool that God uses to help move them forward and where God wants to bring them. And let me explain to you right here. It all begins down here, the great invitation. Revelation 22:17 says, let him who will, let him come. Yeah. Let him who is thirsty, let him come. Let him who is hungry, let him come. So God, the Lord Jesus gives a great invitation. He's inviting whoever will, let him come unto me. It's broad, it's great. It's unrestricted. He says, whosoever will. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what your past has been. He's saying, I want you to come. And is there a desire? Is there a hunger? Is there something in your heart that is pulling you like a tractor beam towards the Lord? The Spirit of God is doing that work. And He's doing that work throughout our life of worship. He's doing a work in us. So we enter through right here, through that great invitation. But as we come in, as we enter in, as we take and respond, and everything about this is about our response. Will I respond to what God is calling of me? And I was thinking, Gary, just even in your presentation of your class, you know, if you can't make a commitment to a little class, if you can't make a commitment to joining and becoming a member of the church, how are you going to respond to all that God says to us? Amen? Because the moment that we come in through that great invitation, there is something that is begins to bear upon us. And that is that the Lord, he is commanding conformity to his image. He is commanding that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds. He is pressing on us, that the word of God is pressing on us. And so we see this, and we see people a lot of times as we're ministering, as we're sharing, and we're in fellowship with people, and we can see the work of God, and he's dealing with people, amen? And there's some pressure that's coming from the Spirit of the Lord, and pressure that's coming from the Word of God in their life, and they're going to either respond to that and continue, because what the Lord wants them to do is come through the narrow way. He wants them to adopt the life that Jesus exemplified and walked. He says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, it says that we are to, if we say that we abide in him, but we don't do the things that he commands, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. And then he goes on to say, If we abide, we know that we abide in him, if we keep his commandments and we do those things that he tells us to do, amen? And then it says to us, if we know that we abide in him, we know that we abide in him, if we walk even as Jesus walked. And so I'm trying to remember a lot of scriptures all at one time, but bear with me. The Lord's great desire is this right here, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 6, his great desire, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, his great desire is this, that we abide in him. Can you say amen? That we abide in him. He wants us to abide in him and let his word abide in us. He wants us to have fellowship with him, communion with him. He wants us to love him and be in relationship with him. And that's not a one-time deal. That's a continuous arrangement that God has to us. And he says, if you abide in him, what does he say? He says, then you will walk even as Jesus walked, or you will live as Jesus lived. So to live the life and to be conformed into his likeness, becoming like him, it requires that we have that abiding relationship with him, doesn't it? And his great desire is that we abide in him, his word abides in us, and that through that relationship, we manifest, he says, you will walk even as Jesus walked, that you will manifest Jesus. That's his great desire, amen? Because what this world needs is this world needs Jesus. This world needs him. And you know what changed my life? I saw the real thing. I saw Jesus manifesting in God's people. Because I had a bunch of religion before I came to a real, genuine faith in God. I've seen religion. I've seen dead Christianity. I've seen, you know, Jesus talks about those seven churches. And two out of the seven he commends, but the other five he doesn't commend. So his great desire is that we abide in him and that he manifests in us. And that manifestation of Jesus in our life is what people need to see.
Yes.
That is the testimony of Jesus. That is our witness to other people, you know.
Yes, right.
And so we want that to happen, but in order to happen, for that to happen, is that we must walk through the narrow way. We must go through the narrow way.
Yeah.
We must come to this place where, hey, I am transformed. My mind, my thinking, I see the world in a different way now. I'm seeing the world through the vision, through the glasses of the Word of God now. The Spirit of the Lord is leading me and directing me. My life has changed. So the narrow way is the way of life. It is the way of life. It's the life of Christ manifesting through me. Amen?
Yes.
And I'm never the same. So what happens, though, is so many Christians live down here. And they don't want to go through the narrow way because they don't want to respond to God and make that commitment of going that distance. So they get comfortable down in this bottom part here. And that bottom part is in Hebrews chapter 5, the Lord rebukes those Hebrews believers because he said, by now you ought to be teachers, but you're in need of one to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. By now, you ought to be those that are up here, walking in the fullness of God's power, manifesting Jesus. But you can't. You can only sustain yourself on a diet of milk. You can't handle the meat of the Word of God, and you can't live in this level up here because you want to stay in an infant state. And so you see in this process right here, there's a great amount of believers that are living right here, living beneath what God would have for them, living below the level of what God would have for them, and never really experiencing the fullness of what God has for them, never really experiencing the knowledge that God wants to give to them, or the power that God wants to flow through them, or the fire that God wants to bring upon their life. And I will just give you a little testimony of this man right here, Wally. Just on Thursday, I came to Wally with a problem I was having with a sale on a house that I built in Waxahachie. And Heather and I were coming home from doing the final touch-ups on that house on Wednesday night, and we got a call from the title company, and they called and they said, "Don, there are outstanding liens against that house, and the buyers, we can't close on that property until those liens are taken care of." And I said, "What could that be? Maybe somebody didn't pay, you know, mow their grass on that property, and so we got a fine on there. What is it?" And they said, "Well, there's liens that are going back 21 years on that property."
Wow.
And there's over $1,500 worth of fine. But get this, they said, there's a total of $8,900 worth of liens on that property through fines and interest to the city of Waxahachie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Lord, you didn't call us in this thing to lose. Lord, you know that everything that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours, Lord God. And Lord, I believe you want to bless me." And I just shared with Wally that little problem I was having, and instantly Wally said no. And he just prayed a short prayer. And Wally, when you said that, I knew that something shook loose in the heavens and something changed in that moment. The lawyer from the title company said, "There's no way the city's going to release you on those liens. You're going to have to come up with that $8,900.
Wow.
That would have swallowed up like half of my profits on that one property. And so I stood on that word. When Wally said that, I knew in my spirit that God was going to do it. That's the power of God.
Yes, yes.
That's the fire that comes through the testimony of God out of your mouth. And what happened is that the next day I said, "Heather, don't you worry." She was pretty disturbed at that point. I said, "Don't worry." I said, "God's going to take care of it. He's got this. He's going to handle this." You know, the next day we had favor with the city of Waxahachie, with the seller that sold me the property. The seller went to the city of Waxahachie. Heather went to the city of Waxahachie. Everybody had favor for us.
Yeah, wow.
And you know what they did? The city of Waxahachie waived all the liens. The attorney from the title company. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I went into the closing and they said, "This never happened. This does not happen." How did that happen? I just say, by the grace of God. God did this.
Yes.
And you know, that's just that might seem like a little miracle to you, but I'm telling you, that's a big miracle to us.
Yes.
And when we start looking for the miracle working power of God coming beside us in our life, and not just taking everything that's thrown at us for what the enemy wants to bring, destruction and havoc and problems in our life. But God wants us to walk in the fullness, amen?
Amen.
God wants us to experience the abundant life that is in Him.
Hallelujah.
And listen, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way, amen?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But it does mean this. That the grace of God is there for us to lay claim to, amen?
Yes.
That we will go through what God's grace will enable us to go through, amen?
Amen.
Another little story. I've been ministering in Africa. Last year I made two trips to Harare, Zimbabwe. 35-hour trip. By the time I get on the plane, by the time I step off the plane in Africa, 35 hours, and I dreaded it after the first trip. I'm like, "Lord, I don't want to go on another trip," just because the trip is just nearly, it just takes everything out of you. So when I'm praying, "Lord, just make my seats empty on both sides of me, you know? Lord, just make it so, oh, Lord, if you can't empty those seats, Lord, just put a skinny little person in each seat." Because I'm not a skinny little guy. So I got on that plane, and sure enough, I get the middle seat, right? And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, Lord. And everybody's walking by, oh, thank you, Jesus, oh, Lord. Well, then pretty soon a big old guy comes down, and he sits down on one side, and he's big. And you know when big guys sit together, both of your stuff hangs over into each other's side. You just can't help it. I'm like, okay, God, now that's it. No more, Lord. No more. And so then here comes the plane just about ready to depart, and another guy comes. He sits down, and he's a big guy too. And we just got all our stuff hanging into each other's space. Another good reason, Pastor, for us to eat healthy, right? Just so we can go where God wants us to go. So I'm turning the air on up here, and, you know, I'm feeling claustrophobic, like, oh, I can't breathe, and I'm just about to freak out. And Heather knows what that's like, because she went on the first trip with me. She could not get comfortable. And so I just prayed, God, you called me. Lord, I'm going to preach the gospel. Lord, I'm here to serve you. And Lord, I know I can do whatever I need to do to get whatever you need done. And so, Lord, I just ask you for your grace. Lord, just give me your grace right now. And all of a sudden, the peace of God just come on over me. It just settled on me, and it was fine. I the trip was great. I got to talk with the people next to me and share my faith with them and go on down to Africa and have a great trip. But that's to tell you that God wants you to abide in him, and he abide in you, and then Jesus manifests in us, amen, in ways that we don't even understand sometimes. God, you just make it possible. Lord, you just enable me. Lord, you just give me the grace to do it. And so what he wants is for us to live up here in the fullness of God. He wants us to come through the narrow way, which is Jesus Christ. You know, it's his cross. It's associating ourselves with his death, his life, his resurrection. Amen. Yeah. It's knowing that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And now the life I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, amen, who died and gave himself for me. Amen. Yes. So, and we're living. That's my life now. I live that life now. And so what is God wanting to do? It says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day that Jesus returns. Amen? Amen. So God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in you. He's working and he's working and he's working, and he's bringing situations and he's bringing different things to bear upon your life to transform you, to change you. What does he want to do? He wants to make you the bride of Christ. Amen? He wants to make you overcomers. He wants to make you into the servants of the Most High God. He wants to make you like him. And he is doing his work, and he is fashioning you, and he is making you. And he's going to do it. He's going to continue to do it. And our response to that is so important. Amen? Our response to that is all important. Because we can either let him work with him in the process, or we can work against him in that process. And working against him in that process will not do good on you. Because he is a father who corrects and disciplines his children, amen. And he will bring you to a place where you say, okay, I like the song that we sang, I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender, Lord. And Lord, please give me the grace, Lord. Pour out your grace on me. Lord, I need that grace right now, Lord. Amen. But I surrender, Lord. I've had enough. Lord, I surrender. Amen? Amen. How many of you have been there? How many of you have been there? Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is what he's doing, and this is his great desire. This is what he's doing in our life. So let's let him do it, okay? Now, I could preach this in so many different ways, and I have. This is not a brand new sermon, but it is fresh bread. Today, I want to take it from this point right here, that he wants us to be his bond slaves, or servants of the Most High God is the more politically correct way to say it, because nobody wants to think of themselves as slaves, especially Christians today. To say the word slave sounds totally contrary to everything that's being preached today, and we don't want to hear that. We want to hear something more politically correct, more cleaned up, more sanitized, right? And so we'll say, like, I'm no longer a slave, or I'm no longer this, I'm a son of God. And those things are true. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servant, but I call you sons. right? But just like the prodigal son, we've got to come to the end of ourselves and recognize that I am perfectly happy and content to go back to my father's house and be his slave.
Yes.
Because to be the bond slave of the Lord is to be a truly free man. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yes.
And so if we throw it out and we try to clean it up and try to make it sound better and try to make it be presented better, we're going to miss the point of what Jesus came to do and what Jesus told us that we need to do. Amen?
Yeah.
And we don't need to clean up the Word of God. We need to surrender to it. Amen?
Amen.
We don't need to make it politically correct. We need to lay our lives down and listen to it. Hallelujah. And so here's a story that Jesus presents to us. And there's probably many in there that I could. But this one really gets down to the nuts and bolts of what God wants us to understand. If we're going to walk in the fullness of what God has for us, there are certain things that we must adopt in our mindset and in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to be in that place. And a lot of people down here, they say, I surrender all, but they're not really willing to surrender all and come to that place of the fullness of what God has for them. And you're missing out.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
You're missing what God has for you. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God that you are unwilling to respond to that and totally yield to that. So here's a story. It's found in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And there's two parts to the story. The first part, we would say, oh, yes, that's so good. Amen. Hallelujah. And the second part, we just kind of leave that off our refrigerator because we don't want to really recite that part. And so when I read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 11. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, I've got a mulberry tree in my backyard, and I sit on my back porch and pray sometimes, and just the Holy Spirit speaks to me. One day I was looking at that mulberry tree, and I was just thinking of this very scripture right here. And I could just picture what it would require to pull that tree up by the roots and cast it into the sea. And I thought, such power, such miraculous wonder-working power would require. And he said, if you command this, if you say this, it will be done for you. Now that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Think about these disciples hearing this for the first time. We've heard this so many times. We get inoculated by the Word of God sometimes instead of receiving what God has to say about it. Amen? But we need to remember what it was like for those who first heard it. Amen? That is an impossible thing. That can only happen supernaturally. And to witness such power, witness such display is just so amazing and so over the top that human ability to be able to reasonably believe that is just almost impossible. Amen? It requires another level of faith. It requires another level. And so Jesus is telling him this, that because there's a desire there, there's a hunger there, right? Lord, increase our faith. So it says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And then he says this, and you go, what? How in the world is that connected with what Jesus just said? And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? Stop right there. How many of you would, I know you guys because I'm like the guy that was plowing in the field, you know? And I know you guys. You know what you guys would do?
Yeah.
Say, Don, come on in here. Gary has done it. Come on, I'm going to go get you guys really good hamburgers, right?
Yeah.
So Gary and Gene would go down there to Brahms and get us like the triple stack cheeseburger with everything on it and just feed us, you know? That's their hearts. That's the heart of this church, is to be like that, right? And just to just serve and to serve others. It's so refreshing. It's so, I love working over here, you know? Because they're just that, I'm just blessed, you know? Because you guys are a blessing.
Praise God.
But look what he says. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Mm. Now he's saying, this is what is the reality of what is expected of a servant, right?
Yeah. Mm.
He's saying, no, you don't get to come in and sit down at my table and me serve you. No. Wow. After you come in from the field, you need to scrub yourself up, put on some service clothes, get my meal ready, prepare my meal, I'll sit down and eat, and then you go sit down in the kitchen and you eat.
Mm.
You get that?
Yeah.
Does that sound like Jesus? Does that sound like the Jesus you know, you've been taught? That kind of seemed a little mean, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It says, does he thank that servant because he's done the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. So Jesus is saying, this is what is expected of you. This is how my heart should receive the Lord. This is about my heart. This is not about what God demands or commands of me. This is about my heart. Because they're saying, Lord, increase our faith. Show us how we can do the things that you did. Show us how we can move like you did. Show us how we can manifest your power like you manifested the power of the Holy Spirit walking on this earth.
Yeah.
And he's saying, this is what you need to think about, boys and girls.
Wow.
This is your mindset that you need to take on for yourself. Now, how could Jesus say that? Because this is the mindset that Jesus had when he came. This is how he thought of himself. It says in Matthew, I think chapter 18, that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So when we're talking about the narrow way life that Jesus has for us to walk in, this is our obligation. This is our service to God. This is not something that we should just feel like, man, I've done a good job, now I want my reward. I've done a good job, now I want you to do something for me, God. No, he wants us to understand. Does God do that? Yes, he does. How many of you know?
Yes.
When you follow and serve the Lord, God blesses, amen?
Yes, sir.
This is where a servant can totally just give his life to the Lord, a slave of the Lord, because he knows his master.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his master. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, the word in most Bibles, I know in the King James, I know in the New King James, I think the NASB, I think most of the good versions that we use for Bible study and for sermonizing and teaching and so forth, they translate the word, Greek word doulos into servant in the Bible. But servant is a bad representation of that Greek word doulos. And I'll tell you why. It's not because of the translation, but more because of our language and the way that we have, our language has evolved. The proper word would be bond slave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bond slave. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
If I was a servant, like Heather, she was a waitress at Red Lobster right down here in Cedar Hill for many years while I was going to Bible school at Christ for the Nations. Yay, Christ for the Nations! Heather got me through that time. But she was a waitress, and they called them servers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that we think of servants of God even is this, that I'm gonna serve the Lord, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that, and then when I'm done serving the Lord, I'm gonna go and do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Think about it.
Yeah.
When a servant is done, when their servant is finished, they go home. They go and live their own life.
Yep.
The Lord is not asking us to be a servant. He's asking us to be bond slaves. Mm-hmm. Bond slaves have no rights. Bond slaves are at their father's command 24/7. Amen? And they know their father, and they have given themselves to their father. And in the Old Testament, they would take the bond slave who was a free man, mm-hmm. right? He's worked off his time. Now he's been given his freedom. But he comes back to his master and he says, "Master, I don't want to be free, because I know the life that you provide for me is better than the life I could ever provide for myself. And I trust you with my life, and I want to be your bond slave." So he would come to his master and he'd make that response, that commitment to the Lord. That response. There's not an, we need to respond. It's not enough that we hear. It's not enough that we know. We must respond to the Lord. Amen. We must make that commitment to God.
We have to
act upon it. And so what the master would do is he would take that servant and he'd say, "Oh, I love you so much. I'm so glad, because I was afraid that you were going to leave and that you were going to lose your way out there. But I know that if you stay with me, that you will be provided for the rest of your life. And you will be fulfilled and you will be happy." Mm-hmm. Now, we can't conceive that. Because of our political correctness and because our way of sanitizing the Word of God and trying to present it in a more acceptable way. But unless we're willing to be those bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't experience the fullness of what God has for us. Amen?
Yeah.
And so he says, "I want you to come." So he'd take that servant and he'd bring him up to the doorpost of the house. Why the doorpost of the house? You think sometimes this stuff in Leviticus, and you're going, "What? Why is..." Well, the doorposts, you remember what was put over the doorpost? The blood, right?
Blood.
What was in the threshold of the doorpost? The blood. Amen? It was the soph. The Bible calls it the soph. The Bible says on that Passover day that they took the hyssop and they dipped it in the soph, and then they took the blood and put it over the doorposts of the house. So it was an entrance covered with blood. It was a place where you cross over into the covenant of God. So that when you came into that place, what happened? God entered into covenant with you. And so the Father came in to be a part of your life. The Spirit of God came in to be a part of your life. And what happened then? So when the death angel passed by and God passed over. God passed over the threshold and the death angel passed by the door. That's good, isn't it? Check it out for yourself. The death angel could not come in because God was in the house. Amen? And you were in covenant with him. And so when that servant came to that place, said, "Father, this is the place of covenant. This is the place of commitment. This is the place of response. And it's time for me to respond to you. It's time for me to make that commitment to you." And so he would come to that place and they would put his earlobe to the doorpost, and they would put an awl through his earlobe, and they would put a ring upon his ear so everyone would know, this is a marked man.
Yeah.
This man is a bond slave of the Lord. This man is a servant of the Most High God. He is changed. He will never be the same again. And you will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. Because God wants you to come out of this place. This is not bad here. This is a good place. I remember when I was in this place in my own life. I remember my spirit coming alive. I remember seeing the miracle working power of God in different people's lives. And I remember responding to that and saying, "I want that. It's real."
Yes.
It's powerful.
Yes.
I remember in the Word of God says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to blood." It was a place where my spirit came alive. It's a place where I became one with God. I was no longer lost. My burden of sin had been taken away, and now there was a freedom that came in my life and an understanding that came in my life. But God said, "I don't want you to stay here." Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It's good that you experience that. It's good that you know that. But now the Word of God is pressing. Now the Spirit of God is pressing, and he's saying, I want you to respond to me. I want you to come into the fullness of what I have. And so what happens is we become conformed into that likeness. And that always were happening, isn't it? And Paul can say this. I mean, I certainly. And he said, not that I have arrived, but I press on to the goal of the high call in Christ Jesus. Amen? I'm being conformed. But what's interesting is as you go through this narrow way, it doesn't mean that you stop doing that. It means that you become conformed into that, and now it becomes a pattern of your life. Amen? That's who I am. That's my identity now. And so I gotta receive this. I am the bride of Christ. I am an overcomer. I am a child of God. Right? I am a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that do? Well, that brings you in such relationship with the Father, right? Everybody wants to experience this down here without any cost, without any price, right? We want it all, man. We can have it all, right? Your best life now. Have it all. We don't have to do anything, but because why? Because Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. Yes, he made the way. He made it possible. He gave you the potential, right? The potential is there. The work has been done so that you can go through, but you still got to pay the price. You still got to go through, amen? And if you don't go through, what's going to happen? Well, it tells me in Matthew 25, right? Matthew 24 is the all that discourse. That's where Jesus talks about the things that are going to happen at the end of the age. And Matthew 25 are little parables that Jesus gives as it relates to those things that are going to take place at the end of the age. One of them is the parable of the 10 wise and or 5 wise, 5 foolish virgins, right? Mm-hmm. The other one is the parable of the wicked lazy servant. The other one, I probably got them out of order. I think the wicked lazy servant is first, and maybe not. But you know what I mean. The wicked lazy servant who was given the 2 talents, and each one was given according to their ability, right? Mm-hmm. And the wicked lazy servant buried his because he knew his master was a hard man, and he demanded what he did not. So I could go into all that, preach a sermon on that. I won't. The 10 wise, the 10 foolish, or 5 wise, 5 foolish, right? 5 had oil, right? Oil enough to get started, but not oil enough to finish, right? Uh-huh. So the 5 foolish who did not have the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit, to finish, were put out, right? The wicked, lazy servant who buried and didn't put into practice what God had given him, was put out. Yep. And then you have the separation of the sheep and the goats, right? Mm-hmm. And so what does he say in all that? He says you can have an appearance of being a true disciple of Jesus and then miss it completely. That identity and that person that God is wanting to make you into. Amen? So having all the potential, did they all have this potential? Mm-hmm. They all had the potential, right?
Yes.
But only the certain ones, right? I'm trying to speak English, and I have trouble with that sometimes, even though it's my first language. Some missed it. They missed it. And I bet you they were sitting in church every Sunday. I bet you they were right there. They heard what everybody else heard. But they didn't respond. They didn't answer. And so here's our response. Make me your bondslave, Lord.
Yeah.
Make me your bondslave with the right heart, with the right motivation. Amen?
Amen.
I want to serve you because I know true freedom comes through you. I know true life comes through you.
Amen.
And Lord, I want to respond to you in faith. See, that kind of faith makes mulberry trees come out of the ground. That kind of faith moves mountains. That kind of faith. See, Paul said, I didn't come with eloquence of speech. I didn't come with the wisdom of man, but I came with the demonstration of God's power. Amen. What was he saying? I came manifesting what Jesus did. I came doing the things that Jesus did. My testimony wasn't based on whether or not I could persuade you mentally. My testimony came because at that moment of impact, and I got to show you guys this. You guys see that? There's some words written under there. Heather said, you put the wrong t-shirt on. I said, no, I didn't. I put the right t-shirt on today. She said, I can see words are saying something. It says, yeah, prepare for impact is what it says. It's my Superman t-shirt. It says, prepare for impact. And you know what I'm counting on? I'm counting that the word of God that I'm preaching you, to you today is having an impact on your life. Yes. That word of impact. Yes. That word of genuineness, that word of reality, that this is true, that Jesus is real, and that his power and the demonstration of it is going to change people's lives. Yeah, amen? Yeah, yeah. People don't need to know what I think they need to know. They need to know the power of God, the Spirit of God. Amen? And there's something that happens to somebody when they've been impacted by the Spirit of God. It happened to me. It touched my life. It changed my life. And I knew instantly that was real. That was true. That word that pastor preaches, that word that Wally preaches, that word that so many of you in here that are mature, that have come to this place of the fullness of God in your life, and you haven't stopped. You're still going. Yep. Amen? You haven't given up, and you've gone through some trials, and you've gone through some dry places, and you've gone through some hard places, but God is saying the fullness is still there for you. Amen? My power is made perfect in your weakness, amen? Hallelujah. And I'm wanting to do some things in your life and continue what doing. It's so awesome how God set you up today. It's so awesome how he set you up today. He wants to touch you.
Yes.
He wants to move in your life.
Yes.
But you've got to respond to him, amen?
Yes.
You got to respond to him. Hallelujah. I could probably end it right here, but I got some more to say. You all right with that? What time do you guys stop? About noon? Huh? Look at these hungry men of God, these hungry disciples. Said, Lord, increase our faith. And you know, up to this point, what were they witnessing? Well, here's a list of things that they had seen up to this point where they asked this question. They saw him perform they saw Jesus command a miraculous catch of fish while they were fishing. They saw Jesus deliver the demoniac in Capernaum. They saw Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law, a blessing he did not ask for. They saw him cleanse the lepers. They saw him heal the man with the withered hand. They saw him heal the centurion commander's son. Healed at Jesus' word. He didn't even go to him. He just gave a word because the centurion said, if you just say the word, Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, if you just speak that word, if I could just hear it come out of your mouth, I know he'll be healed. Hallelujah. How about that? Hallelujah. Amen. He raised the widow's son from the dead. He delivered the blind and deaf man. He stilled the storm. He delivered the demoniac of Gadarene who had 1,000 demons in him. He healed the woman with the issue of blood that spent all her money on doctors. He raised the dead Jairus' daughter at his word. He healed and delivered countless souls who were just laid at his feet at any time that he began to start preaching. He miraculously fed 4,000 people, 4,000 men with 7 loaves and a few fish. He walked on the water. He fed the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men and all their children and wives. He delivered the demonized daughter of the Greek woman who said that she would eat the scrap from his table if he would just heal. Jesus told Peter to pay the taxes that come out of the fish's mouth when he goes and casts his line into the sea. Jesus took dirt from the ground, spit in it, and created an eyeball and stuck it in a guy's head.
Hallelujah.
Jesus healed the crippled woman on the Sabbath. He healed the man with dropsy. Have you ever seen somebody with dropsy? Everything droops. I had a friend that had dropsy, and his eyes and his mouth and everything just kind of like it was sliding off his face.
Wow.
He healed him. Amen? He raised Lazarus from the dead, and he healed the 10 lepers. This is what they saw when they asked him, Lord, will you increase my faith? Hallelujah. Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I go, that he may come. Jesus said, it's more expedient for you, it's better for you that I go, so that he, the Holy Spirit, can come upon you. And he will be everything to you that I was to those disciples. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We have the power. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
We have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
These stories of faith and to be a bondslave seem so disconnected. But when you understand, it is so very connected, isn't it? It's so very connected. And God wants us to receive that word today and respond to it. Hallelujah. What can we conclude from this? Jesus taught that they were to follow in the same way that he lived his life. Amen? In the same fashion, we need to believe in a supernatural ministry in each one of our lives. Amen? When we walk in the fullness of God, we can expect that. Amen?
Amen.
What he wanted us to conclude from this is that this would be a sign of those who truly love him, of those who truly believe. He said, those that believe, these signs will follow those that believe. Amen? He wanted us to understand that it wasn't just for Jesus to perform miracles and signs, and it wasn't just for the apostles to bear witness to Christ just so they could write the New Testament. I want to tell you that's a heresy. It wasn't just for Jesus to move in the supernatural and the apostles to move in the supernatural so that we can have the canon of the Bible before us. If that were true, then we would need half of the things that are written in it. Because those things that are written in the New Testament are for us today. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? We are not cessationists. We are Pentecostals. We believe in the power of God. Amen? We believe that those things are for us today. Amen? Hallelujah. It was for all who believed to move in the supernatural. We are all called to do that. And I'm going to tell you, we don't need to limit God in that. Just like I said last week, Wally's word changed things.
Amen.
It was the Spirit of God going through that man, manifesting through that man. And any week, I'm telling you, there's miracles any and every week I know that are happening in this congregation.
Yes.
I know miracles are happening. Yes. But because we look for something, we expect certain things, or we want to see certain things, and if it doesn't line up with what we think, you got to get past our thinking. We got to see into the supernatural, amen?
Amen?
Miracles are happening. Look at somebody next to you and say, miracles are happening.
Hallelujah.
It's a demonstration of God's Spirit and his power. This needs to be the testimony of Jesus in our life. This needs to be the testimony of Jesus. Now, I'm not ashamed to stand up and say, hey, God did this week. I'm obligated to get up and say that.
Yes.
When you see it, you say it.
Yes.
The Lord says, what I whisper in your ears, go tell it on the mountain. Amen?
Yes.
It's for people to see that it's real. It's powerful.
Yes.
I don't make up stuff. I don't try to contrive stuff. But when it's happening, I'm going to tell about it. Amen? I'm going to share it. And more things are happening than what we're hearing. Amen? More things are happening than what we're seeing. God is working in ways we don't see or understand so many times. And if you don't believe that, just read the story of Mary and Joseph carrying a baby and all they went through. A miracle was happening in that. But God was moving in ways that nobody understood at that time. Amen? We don't see it. They didn't see it. The disciples didn't see it. They missed it when Jesus was being crucified and nailed to the tree. Right? They just thought it was the end of the world. They thought their life was over. They'd wasted the last 3.5 years. It's all over with. The new chapter of their life was starting. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back. They missed it. The miracle was happening. Amen. And they missed it. Miracles are happening. And we need to open our eyes to it. Amen. God wants us to see the supernatural is taking place. And God is wanting to do something. And the more you see it, and the more you testify of it, and the more you expect the manifestation of Jesus in your life, remember him abiding in you and his spirit manifesting in your life, the more you're going to see miracles happen.
Amen.
And pretty soon you're going to be in such a close communion with God. God's saying, my servant, he's going to say, you know what? I no longer call you servant. I call you my friend. I call you my son. Because you're stepping into it, son. You've met the potential head on. You've responded to it. You know, you've counted the cost and you've paid the price. And you've entered into what I have for you. And that's what God wants us to believe and expect. Amen? Supernatural things that God wants to do through each one of us. This is what he wants us to know. His ministry in the earth until he returns is going to be a supernatural one. To not believe that goes against God's word. All right? To not believe that goes against his word. He wants us to know 2,000 years ago after he raised from the dead and was sent to the Father that the church is a witness to Christ and must believe that the Spirit of God moves upon the willing body of believers. He wants to manifest through you. He wants to manifest through this church. I want you to increase your expectation. I want you to just receive that impartation that God wants to give you today to increase your faith, to believe God, because there's a desire there that God sees. And he's pleased with that desire. But you've got to respond. Amen? He wants you to know that if you have faith that's tiny, just tiny faith, right? Mm-hmm. What's tiny faith? Tiny faith is this. Lord, I believe, but I don't know. Something could happen. I believe, but I'm not really sure. I need you to increase my faith. He said, if you have just tiny faith, right? Mm-hmm. If you have, how many of you have tiny faith today? Yeah. You got tiny faith, yeah. All right? You know what? If you have tiny faith, great things can happen, right?
Yeah.
Great things can happen. You just need to respond to the Lord with that tiny faith. Hallelujah. And there's the last thing on that those points that I want to say is that it's not you, but it's Christ in you. It's not you, but it's Christ in you. So much of what I see today is a lot of people trying to puff themselves up, build up their own ministry, build up their own... make themselves look better and do this and try to stir people up and do this and that. And you know what? It's not you. It's not about me. It's about him. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
It's him. I'm a bond slave. Right? I do what he says. I do what's expected of me. I'm obligated to that. But guess what? He does the miracle working part. Amen? He does the supernatural part. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get to the end of this. I went so off my notes. I got to kind of get back here. How many of you are being blessed today? We have to come to the end of ourselves. It's just like the prodigal son. He had to come to the end of his house, just like the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said to the Lord, he said, I want to follow you. What do I need to do to follow you? And Jesus said, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. He couldn't come to the end of himself. Jesus said that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle. And what was he saying there? He's saying the rich man has too much to lose to totally commit to the Lord. You know that most Americans are richer than nearly everybody else in the whole world? You know that? You know that more than 50% of the population of the world lives on less than $2 a day? And we are the rich ones. We are the rich. Does it mean that it's impossible for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven? No. It just means that we have to be able to lay it all down. Amen? We have to lay it all down. Just be a bond slave of the Lord. We got to be willing to lay it down. All that I am. And in this, I've committed everything to the Lord. I'm not afraid of wealth. I'm not afraid of riches because I know who it comes from. I know what God wants me to do with it. I know I'm going to build a Bible school in Zimbabwe. I'm going to build a Bible school there before I die. And it's going to take some money to do it. How many of you know the ministry of this church takes money to do it?
Amen.
If you're going to do out, reach out somewhere and go somewhere and do something, it's going to take some money to do it. You don't show up there to that airplane and say, by faith, I'm getting on this plane. I don't need an airline ticket. Right? It doesn't work like that. We got to get the money and buy the airline ticket, right? We got to do those things. So it takes money. And we ought to be the best stewards of the money and resources that God has given us and believe God that God wants to increase us. The word from the Lord for our church this year was God is going to make this a year of preparation for us in our church. That God was going to increase us and that we should not be afraid of what God has for us. Amen. And I think that's the Spirit of the Lord was saying that earlier today in that prophetic word that was coming across this pulpit. Not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. Step out. Believe God. Trust God. God wants to do some supernatural things for you and in you. Amen. So, but we got to come to the end of ourselves and entrust ourselves into the Master's hands. And we don't want to be hirelings. That's what a servant is a hireling, but a bond slave belongs to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So I can trust the goodness of God, the promises that he's given to me, that will result in my freedom when I'm willing to lay it all down and give it all up. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to take the rest of our time that we have together to just allow the Holy Spirit to move and to minister. And it's my desire to pray for you. My desire to pray for you. And this is the invitation to you. You know, God invites you. He invites you to respond to his word today. He invites you to, wherever you're at on this illustration that I gave to you today, he's inviting you to respond to him. Maybe you're just now coming into the things of the Lord. I mean, I see so much maturity in here. I'm like, will you please get up here and preach to me because I need you to speak into my life. But no matter where you're at in this, God wants you to respond to him. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to make a commitment. He wants you to make a commitment to this body of believers here. He wants you to make a commitment to him. He wants you to make a commitment to the call of God that's on your life. He wants you to make a commitment to walking the narrow way. He wants you to make a commitment to receiving the fullness of what God has in your life. He wants you to respond to him. Amen? He's asking you to come. He said, whosoever will come, let him come. And he's not forcing it. He's not forcing the issue. He's inviting us to make that decision. Amen.